We're in Galatians chapter 6, the book of Galatians chapter 6, and we pick up our studies today in verse 9, but I do want to go back to verses 7 and 8 and deal with the question that people sometimes raise about this passage. Remember, and let's look again at Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, where Paul said, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And so we sometimes summarize this verse by saying that you reap what you sow. But here's the question that I want to look at for just a few minutes. Do people reap everything that they have sown in this lifetime? Do people always get what they deserve? Do sinners sometimes get away with, at least for a while, their sins in this lifetime? And do some sinners leave this world without paying for at least some of their sins? And what about righteous people? Do righteous people deserve the trials and the tribulations that come upon them? Are they reaping what they've sown in that way? Well, those questions put this whole passage into perspective. Because what we're looking at here is the general truth about what happens in this life, and especially we're looking at God's law about what does happen without exception in the world to come. So, yes, there are exceptions in this life. Sinners sometimes get away with sin. This is what we find in Psalm 73. The writer is upset because all these evil people seem to be getting away with their evil. And he says, "When I thought to know this, it was just too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end." So in order to really understand this and even live with it, you have to look at the end result of people's sins, because not all sins are rewarded in this lifetime. Think of it in this way. If God punished every sin in this lifetime, and if he gave all the punishment that sin deserves in this life, then what would be the need for the judgment? What would be the purpose of hell if God had already given all the just punishment for sinners that they truly do deserve? So, yes, in this lifetime, there are cases where sinful people get away with their sins, at least during this life. So this is a general principle that we see not only here, and that's important to remember. This is not the only verse in the Bible that deals with the general principle of sowing and reaping. Proverbs 13, verse 15 says that the way of transgressors is hard. Well, there are times when transgressors have an easy life, though, when life is not so hard for them. So it's a general principle here that we can see enough of in experience in life to see the truthfulness of this passage of Scripture. And the same thing is true with good people. Sometimes good people suffer things that they don't deserve. And we find a good example of this in the case of Job. Job suffered all that he did in that book, and one of his friends said to him that he was reaping what he sowed. Job 4, verses 7 and 8, Eliphaz said, "You're just reaping what you have sown." Now, Eliphaz was wrong, and we find that out in Job chapter 42. God told Eliphaz and Job's other friends that they were wrong in what they said about Job. So here's a good man that had sown good things in his life. And of course, he wasn't perfect, but he certainly did not deserve what he was going through in that book. So yes, there are exceptions, but the general idea here is something that is taught throughout the Bible, and that is live a good life, and there will be consequences in this life. Good results of what you've done. Sow good and you will reap good. But if you live a sinful life, if you sow wickedness, then you will reap the same. But remember that the main point of this passage is sowing in this life and reaping in the world to come. And that's clear because he says in the last part of the verse, "He that sows to the Spirit," that is, in this life, "shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting," that is, in the life to come. And of course, in verse 9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's obvious that he's talking about reaping in the world to come. So there's a general sense in which we reap what we sow in this life, but in the world to come, there are absolutely no exceptions to that rule of sowing and reaping. With that in mind, let's go on to verse 9, where Paul says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Paul says, don't be weary. Don't get tired and give up. There are some beautiful passages in the Bible that encourage us to persevere in the faith. Back in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31, you have this memorable passage. The Bible says, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And then we need to remember those 300 Israelites in Judges chapter 8. While they were chasing those Midianites, here's what the Bible says in Judges chapter 8, verse 4. Notice what it says about how tired they were, but they kept going. In Judges 8, verse 4, the Bible says, "And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. They refused to quit. They refused to give up, even though they were very tired from all the battles." And then in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, remember that the Bible says, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." And the witnesses that he's talking about are those Old Testament heroes of faith. He talks about all that they endured, all the trials and all the hardships that they faced. And he says that they are witnesses to faith in God. And now he says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The Christian life is like a race, and you do get tired at times. That's normal. That is natural. But the Bible tells us to keep going. The Bible tells us not to be weary. In verse 2 of Hebrews 12, the Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now listen to what he says in verse 3, after he's talked about these Old Testament heroes of faith, and he mentions what they went through by faith, and then he says that we need to remember Jesus, how that he endured the cross, he despised the shame, and now he's at the right hand of God. Now considering all of that, listen to Hebrews 12, verse 3. "For consider him," that is Jesus, "consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So the writer says, when you're tempted to quit, you need to think about what Jesus went through. When you're looking at and thinking about how tired you are in body or in mind or in soul or all of those, then you need to think about what Jesus endured. He goes on in Hebrews chapter 12, and he talks about the fact that God does chasten his people. And in light of that, here's what he says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees." Yes, your hands are hanging down because you're tired. Your knees are beginning to quiver and perhaps buckle. But he says you need to lift up those hands, and you need to make, in verse 13, straight paths for your feet. Don't give up and don't quit. And here's another passage in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That idea of resting and resting for all of eternity is more and more appealing, and it sounds sweeter every day that a Christian lives as we go through all the trials and tribulations of this life. There is a rest that is coming, and that will be after we pass through this life. It's easy to get tired in the Christian life. You get tired of the burdens that we bear. We become weary of sin and temptation because that is a battle. We get tired of dealing with people and sometimes arguing with people about the truth. We get tired of physical problems, health problems, discouragements, and trials of all kinds. But the Bible says, and God says to Christians, stand up straight and keep going. Jesus was tired when he went to the cross. He was tired physically when he went to the cross. But he continued. The Old Testament prophets and the apostles of the New Testament got tired. And there are people right now carrying heavier loads than you are carrying. The Bible says that we can do it. Psalm 27, verse 14, the Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So he says to remember that we shall reap if we faint not. Look at it again in Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So he says, in due time, we will reap our reward. Now that goes back to verse 8, because he says that if you sow to the Spirit, you will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But he says, you have to be patient and you have to endure. And that has to be done many times in spite of how you feel physically. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not. That is, in light of and in spite of all the hardships that we face. And Paul lists all those troubles that he was going through in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But he says, we don't faint because of those. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the outward body loses strength. That's natural. That is normal. But the Bible says that in the life of a child of God, even though the outward body, the physical body, loses strength day by day, the inward man, the soul, is renewed and gains strength every single day because we're trusting in the promises of God. Now, in verse 10, Paul said, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Notice the word therefore. As we have therefore opportunity. Now, the word therefore tells us to look before at what he has said. And if you go back to verse 2, he says to bear one another's burdens. If you look at verse 6, he says to share with teachers and preachers of God's word. In verses 7 and 8, the Bible tells us to sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. In verse 9, the Bible tells us not to be weary in well-doing. Now, in light of all those exhortations, he says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. As you have opportunity, while you can, and when the door opens, do good to all men. In John chapter 9, verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, because the night comes when no man can work. In Ephesians 5, verse 16, Paul said to redeem the time, that is to buy up the time. That means to use it wisely. It's easy to pass by opportunities, and we usually do this because we're just too busy. We're so involved in our own plans and our own problems that we don't even see the opportunities before us. Paul says, do good in whatever way you can, with a good word or a good deed, do good to all men, especially to Christians. Christians are to do good to Christians and non-Christians alike, but there is a special concern that we're to have for our own family, that is, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But Paul says to do good unto all men, and that includes non-Christians. And remember, in Galatians 1, verse 2, Paul, in this book, is writing to the churches of Galatia. So he's telling the churches to do good unto all men. This passage authorizes congregations as well as individual Christians to help people in need outside the church. The Bible does not teach that a church can help saints only.